welcome to DriveCast. This is Ed Travers, teaching pastor at LifePoint in Westerville. This past week, we concluded our series from Nehemiah that we're calling Build, where generosity leaves a legacy. And we looked at chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. Here's what it says. Now, when the wall had been built, and I had set up doors, and the gatekeepers, and the singers, and the Levites had been appointed, I gave my brother Hanani and Hananiah, the governor of the castle, charge over Jerusalem. For he was a more faithful and God-fearing man than many, and I said to them, let not the gates of Jerusalem be open until the sun is hot, and while they are still standing guard, let them shut and bar the doors. Appoint guards from among the inhabitants of Jerusalem, some at their guard posts, and some in front of their own homes. Now, I want to bring up just something about this passage I thought was very interesting. In context, think about this, that Nehemiah was a cupbearer for the king in Persia, and he hears about the walls that are destroyed in Jerusalem. And so he's so moved by that, and he's praying and fasting, and he feels that God has given him just kind of the go-ahead to go ahead and mention this to the king. And the king of Persia is basically says, I'm with you, I'll help you. And he gives him everything he needs to go down there and build the walls. When he gets down there, he has incredible opposition. He's got to do this incredible task of building the walls, but he's got this guy Sanballat and some of the others that are coming against him and even threatening his life. But the walls get built. It takes them 52 days. They had tens of thousands of people working on it. These were huge walls. And yet after 52 days, the task is complete. Now, what would you do? What would be the first thing you would do after completing this incredible task, making the walls and securing Jerusalem, the city of God, securing the temple area? What would you do first? And it's interesting because Nehemiah set up different levels of leadership. He found a relative who loves God that would be a governor. He appointed gatekeepers and guards. He instituted the Levite priest to take care of the sacrifices, but it also says that he appointed singers. Now, it's very interesting to me, why would he appoint singers? Why are singers the first on the to-do list when you realize you really ought to have a guard first? You know, you got to set up this leadership, but singers were right along with everything that he did, and it's because worship is central to our faith. Worship is central to the heart of God. Whenever you read about a vision from heaven, whether it be in Isaiah or you read about in Revelations, that they're in the presence of God, the angels that witness God are praising him. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. You see, worship is central to our faith. I think in many times when we think of worship, we think of music. We think, okay, I'm going to go to church, there's going to be a time of worship, and then we're going to hear the word of God, right? That's mostly kind of what we think about when we think of worship. But worship really means to ascribe worth. Anything that you and I ascribe worth to is what we worship. And we're made to worship, so that's why it's so easy for us to, you know, to assess worth in something else. For example, if you're a Buckeyes fan, and you're watching the Buckeyes and you realize, man, they are just a great team and you're excited about them and you're watching the game and you're watching with your friends and there's an interception that's returned for a touchdown, a pick six. What do? You scream and you yell and you holler. Or maybe it's a sack of the opposing quarterback, or maybe it's when the running back breaks through the line. When we witness something that we believe is valuable or worth, we usually share that. We say it out loud. We scream it out loud. We ascribe worth. In the same way, we were made to notice things that are great. And God is central to that because God is the greatest and most glorious of all. And if we worship something less than him, then our hearts are always going to be a little bit off. And so Nehemiah does what everyone should do, is that our hearts should be bent on singing the praises of God. This is why we do it on Sundays. But it's why we do it every day, that as we recognize God, we ascribe him worth from our hearts. In the New Testament, in Colossians 3, it talks about how that whenever we come together, we should have a spiritual song or a hymn or a psalm where we're talking about the praises of God. Wherever you're at, I just want to ask that that you align your heart. Let your faith be expressing itself through worship. Father, I pray that our hearts would always recognize you, that we would see your worth and your value. Help us that when we sing songs on Sunday, that we wouldn't just think about the way the song is arranged or the melody or the great singers, but we would think about you. I'm going to ask you to do the same, that to take a second just to align your heart and ask God to make you notice him, so that when you notice him, you would simply ascribe worth to him. Go ahead and take a second to pray. Well, I hope that's been a good reminder and challenge to you. Till next time, God bless.